Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Monday, the 18th of April. Very nice to have you with us. And we have a great panel, as we always do, and let me introduce them to you. Also, a reminder, you can join in on the conversation at roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org, and you can join in on the fun. And aren't we having fun? Yes, we are. Let me... Alan Chartok is here. Good morning. Speaking of fun, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. I'm just reading the latest from Stacey Perry Rosenberry, who's big shot here. She's in charge of much things. She says
she was upset about the Ben and Jerry, the two ice cream.
Oh,
were they magnates?
They were magnates.
Yes,
definitely.
Yes. They were in here on Friday.
We were very jealous.
And they were mixing ice cream. And apparently, some got on the counter.
Yeah. Well, Stacey doesn't take prisoners. She said Studio A is brand new. I don't want to make any sweeping statements about no food in there, given the shows we have, but this is unacceptable. If food can't be kept off equipment and if messes can't be cleaned up, I'll have no choice but to ban food. Let's not have this happen again,
like,
please. Thanks, Stacy. I love that.
So
here's
be careful
Joe,
with your coffee. Yes.
Coffee
right. What's the Danish coming in?
I could use her around our law firm, actually.
apparently when they were doing he had the chocolate, so it was the Bernie's
top.
Yearning,
yeah.
And the
I want equal time for Hillary.
The disc of we're going to take care of that. We have the disc of chocolate on the top, and that represents the 1%. And then you take your spoon and you just bash the hell out of it into the ice cream.
Oh, I like that.
You see, and then when it was during the bashing. Yeah. Is when apparently
yes,
we had some shrapnel.
And how do you get the chocolate to pay for it all?
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that. That was good.
That was clever.
Alan Chartok is here. Good morning.
I just want to say one last thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
My favorite sentence is, "I'll have no choice but to ban food."
Gee, I'm surprised you honed in on that. Rosemary Arbeo is a journalism professor at the University at Albany. She is an investigative reporter, and we're thrilled to have her with us almost each and every day. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Rich Honan joins us this morning. I think he's making two appearances this week.
Wow.
This is the first of the two, and we're thrilled. Thank you very much. How could we pass up the opportunity to have you on twice during primary week?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if you have me back on Thursday.
We'll see if we renew your passport. Again, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Well, it was a busy week. I'll tell you, I wouldn't have wanted to be Bernie Sanders, though. You go to the debate, and then you go to the Vatican, and then you come back, and then you campaign, and that seems very like a lot. So that happened over the weekend.
Do you think it means something that the? Do you think it means? I'm sorry, Rosemary. Do you think it means something that the Pope actually met with him?
There was that whole thing. Did he? Would he? Would he? Would he? Would not?
And he did.
And he did.
And he had nice things to say.
They said it was more like they bumped into each other and he shook his hand. It didn't mean very much.
No, he said
something. How do you bump into? Where are you that you bump into?
Well, apparently.
In the airport, because he was on his way back from
the No, it was in the residence. And the way, apparently, Rosemary, the way I had heard the story... Because you make it sound like they're at the ice machine filling up their...
If you say
they were
Bernie,
in the airport, they ran into each other. No big deal.
They were not at the airport, were they?
No.
They were in the private residence.
If you say Bernie up, Rosemary's going to say Hillary up. You know what I mean?
Well, what I was going to say was that, yes, that was a very difficult and full schedule, especially for a 74-year-old.
You're looking at me when you say 74-year-old? I am 74, and I'm proud of it.
You could have managed that. You would have had no problem with that.
Go over there.
And then come back, do a couple campaign events?
No. And if I heard anybody speaking, you know, in an Arab accent on the plane, I would have had them thrown off.
Horrible story.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, a woman hears a guy on his phone and he says, Inshallah. Which, by the way, you don't need to know Arabic to know that. Just means God willing. Anybody of Arabic descent will say inshallah, meaning like I hope so, like we say that's all. Oh, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah,
oh, inshallah.
That's kind of cultural by now.
Yeah, it is cultural. So it isn't like Allah Akbar or something, which is the cry of a terrorist. Yeah. So she reports them, and they take the guy off the flight.
Wow. Where was this?
Southwest flight.
From where? From
I don't remember where.
Eight hours later, he gets on a plane.
Yeah.
Now, if you are him, you don't like it. Right? I mean, let's face it.
like it.
I'd be suing.
I would want my name on the side of the airplane. that's inexcusable.
And I mean, I'm sorry all this. I know you were saying earlier on the radio, Alan, that better safe than sorry. Some people think that.
Not
is
Alan
just,
thinks
that.
I made
that,
it
you
clear
said
what my
some
position
people
was.
Think that. You said yeah. Some people think that. Yeah. My view is that this was ignorant, just ignorant.
Well,
and not on the part of the guy who actually knows Arabic as well as English, unlike most Americans.
Well, that's
terrible.
That's true.
Most Americans don't know English.
You know, and the other thing is, if there's a misunderstanding and you want to be better safe than sorry, that doesn't take 8 hours.
No. Well, no, 8 hours was till the next plane.
Well, still. I mean, you could take care of that in 15 minutes.
You go out into the luggage place where we put the luggage on the side, you know, when you're coming in. Yeah.
I don't know. All right, let's go to a lot of different things happening just overnight since I sent out stories. One is that there has been what's wrong?
No, nothing. We're
having a side conversation.
Okay. I thought I missed something.
Sorry about it.
No, I was like,
sorry
didn't
about
know.
That.
No. Brazil's president impeached.
Oh, amazing story
boy.
Too.
The Senate will now decide to hold trials on charges that Dilma Rousseff illegally used money from state banks.
She's gone. You know, things are so messy over there that they have all kinds of international obligations and a meeting and everything else. You know, and when I first took a look at this, I said, well, you know, I think that this is going to mess up our stock market because you are so intertwined. Everything is intertwined. The Chinese have a bad day. It hurts us, but I have a feeling this might actually help the markets.
I like it that government is changing because people are demanding clean government. This is an anti-corruption kind of prosecution if it comes to that, and that's always a good thing.
What, you think the others aren't corrupt also, the people who are yelling at her?
She's the president of a country, and she's going to be held to account. I think that's great. It should happen in more places.
But why is
but
she
poor
being
poor Brazil. Oh, my God. They have the Olympics, which is a mess. They have
Zika
virus, and now presidential upheaval. It's a lot for a country, for one country.
And Brazil nuts.
Brazil nuts are amazing. They grow inside this giant coconut. Okay.
Anything you have to add to this conversation, Rich?
I can't bring it up.
Did you find a plumber yet? we're gonna take a break. We'll be right back and continue our conversation right after this.
Support comes from Hubbard Hall Center for the Arts and Education in Cambridge, New York, presenting the American classic The Crucible by Arthur Miller, running through May 8th. HubbardHall.org. Kent Hicks Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restorations, serving Western Massachusetts for over 25 years. KentHicksConstruction.com. DuPont's Wine and Food Festival at Mohawk Mountain House, a festival of wine, food, chefs, seminars, and tastings, Saturday, April 23rd, InternationalWineMasters.com. And from University at Albany, offering a weekend MBA program for 22 months, including an international trip, 518-956-8330.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion this morning. We have one more thing. We're going to go to news here in about 7 minutes, but I just want to bring up the Supreme Court today will hear a major challenge to President Obama's plan to shield millions from deportation. A 4-4 tie would leave in place a ruling blocking the plan. Meanwhile, there is the article in the New York Times this morning about conservatives worried that Chief Judge John Roberts may push for a narrow ruling that avoids a major statement on executive power.
Well, it is Roberts that everybody has to keep their eye on. Times did a huge piece on it this morning. Roberts is the guy who really could allow the president to have his way. And it looks like he might just do that because he's a stickler on some of these rules. That will mean that Roberts will have had two now that will have saved the president. One, of course, was Obamacare. And this would be the second one.
Yeah, I agree. The Supreme Court has a pretty good record, even when it was unbalanced in favor of conservatives, of ruling really carefully and in the right way when they were strict to constitutional issues. And this seems to be that. This is about the power of the president as put down in the Constitution. And that affects Republicans as well as Democrats.
I think it's great. The power of Roberts. I think Roberts is, from the American, from the Affordable Care Act on, has just been trying to establish some kind of legacy. And I don't know what it is that he's trying to prove. I don't know what the Republicans have on it or the Democrats have on him, but the Obamacare decision was just a travesty of constitutional law, and for him to be continue on that vein, I can't even articulate what agenda or what legacy he's trying to leave. I mean,
well, let me give you one idea.
He's wildly inconsistent, and his rulings don't make any sense.
Let me give you one idea. He does have tremendous power. George W. Bush gave it to him when he put a 40-something-year-old man in as a Chief Justice. So he wields unbelievable power. That's established. And I think what he wants to do is protect the legacy of the court, not just of him. If he had undone Obamacare, which is what would have happened if he ruled the other way, millions of people would have lost coverage. It would have been chaos. It would have opened the court up again, as I think it should be, to charges that it's politically motivated. And he tried to protect the court, and I think he's doing the same thing here.
I think his job is to protect the Constitution. I think he failed miserably at that. And I think that had he struck down, it's basically a law. There's been lots of laws that have been struck down. It was more obviously unconstitutional than most. I just don't understand what history he's trying to write.
This from the New York Times. Chief Justice Roberts' record suggests that he may avoid taking a position on such a divisive and partisan issue, focusing instead on the more technical question of whether the states challenging the Obama administration's immigration plan has suffered the sort of direct and concrete injury that gives them standing to sue. And then in a line that makes me just applaud the journalist Adam Liptak, the jurisprudential off-ramp would avoid a deadlock or a grand pronouncement from a shorthanded court on a politically charged issue in a presidential election year.
You say that. And by the way, I understand that. And what we're talking about is whether the states themselves have standing to challenge this. And I think that's It's a threshold issue, it's a jurisdictional issue, but a lot of law has been made on standing issues and jurisdictional issues, and I only have to point to probably the most famous Supreme Court case of all time, Marbury v. Madison, which established the ultimate power of the Supreme Court, and basically the holding there was we don't have jurisdiction.
That's a one-line holding. Let us not forget that the court took this case in election year. Of course, there was another member at the time. They knew this issue was a hot button in a political year. They still chose to take it. Mm. And I think they wanted to make a much wider sweeping verdict than they're now looking at. This is definitely a change in direction.
As I've said 1,000 times, God has his term limits.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had a different idea of what was going to be.
Yeah. Oh, I think,
I think so.
Yeah, watch your... Yeah, you're
button.
Okay now.
Yeah. The on-off. But yeah, I think from a conservative viewpoint, I agree. I think they had, Rosemary, I think they had to take the case because they had a lower court had enjoined a pretty important executive order. But yeah, I think it's an ominous sign that that Roberts is getting so involved. And I don't see it as an off-ramp, Joe, but I see it as a way of him again, cementing his legacy.
Jurisprudential off-ramp.
Yes.
Well, but that's what judges are supposed to take the off-ramp. You're supposed to decide a case on the narrowest possible issue.
Right.
That's a canon of judicial construction.
I think that's a good thing.
I agree. How it's supposed to be.
And as to your point that lots of laws have been overturned, not laws with the scope of Obamacare. I mean, the most recent one that I can think of is the Voting Rights Bill, which was not really overturned. It was changed, or the enforcement of it was changed. That was sweeping, too. And we're still seeing the consequences.
All that they would have done, all they had to do was come back and say, look, if it's a tax, it's constitutional. You've told us it's not a tax. Is it a tax? And they would have come back and said, yes, it's a tax, therefore it's constitutional. But instead, he took this weird way of saying, I know they don't say it's a tax, but it sounds like a tax, and since you're allowed
to tax. But he did this cute run in that decision at another key component of the Obamacare, which is the state signing on to their portion
of it. That was later,
Yeah, that really, I mean, he it was not like a big support for Obamacare that he gave.
No. But on the other hand, he was where you and I thought he should be, as opposed to Rich. I believe, I just wanted to answer you, Rich, you're just wrong.
And with that, why don't we pause for a moment, and we'll go to some BBC News. We'll allow Rich to find the composure that he lost through that withering remark from Alan, and we'll be back in just a moment. Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, Rich Hone, and I'm Joe Donahue. We will continue our conversation. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Maybe I did it wrong.
Maybe it went lower.
You made it colder.
No. Joe stepped out to make it a little warmer.
Make it a little warmer, and I thought because you pressed the thing up, but it is a little chilly in here,
and
or
very
a lot chilly
Argentine.
Actually. There you go. He's here all week. Folks, Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, Rich Honan. We have letters. We have such subject headings as "Rich is wrong," "Stupid right wing," "What's up with Rich?" and "That travesty." So let's go to those letters.
Let's go to those letters. Okay, Robert wants us to talk about Saudi Arabia. He says, I'm so sick of Saudi Arabia getting a pass from successive U.S. administrations on the question of whether...
Not really on topic, Robert, but we'll...
Saudi officials...
Yeah, we're rich bashing now, Robert.
I just
Come
thought
on.
I'd mention that. Okay. The ACA forces me to become a capitalist. No thanks. Repeal it for single payer. The president and Congress cannot force feed capitalism in a rigged economy, but they'll try. Say no to the ACA. And without insurance, what no insurance? That's the 1890s. Sometimes I have trouble following, but then we all know that. David says, hi, all. Known Bernie for 40 years, seen him conduct many campaigns. He has run all of them with amazing energy, and that's from Dave. And Rich says, Joseph says, Rich is wrong. I already said that. Robert's ruling on the ACA, Affordable Care Act, for those who just joining us, was in line with precedent. Disagreeing does not alter evidence. The executive order has ample historical evidence. Okay, and then some more, but enough is enough. Okay. Okay, now here's what I really don't like, and I have to lecture them on. It's from Ed. Once again, you have that idiot rightist on your program. I turn my radio when you put these idiots on our station. Is that what you want? Your loyal, dedicated listeners and your capital S turning your program off? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't like this letter. I don't like it at all. People have to be able to listen to all sides on everything. And this idea that if you have somebody on in a full panel where people disagree and I don't like them, I'm going to call them an idiot. Well, I'm not going to start doing the same thing, but I don't like that letter.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever it's worth.
It was a nice defense of free speech and open discourse.
Plus, yay. We didn't even say anything that controversial.
No, I know. No. I know.
Yeah,
we haven't even gotten to the hard
stuff.
You
got a bad one yesterday. Somebody said some horrible things to you. I sent it to you because I thought you should see
it. I didn't even answer that. I usually answer almost all the letters, and you know, you end up having
it.
But this was just so
over the top.
It was
I just wanted you to be aware
don't
of it.
Listen.
But, yeah.
There are people, by the way, on there was a lady commentator about, it's coming in around 4 o'clock this morning.
Yes.
And she did this wonderful thing about how you answer emails and what you achieve. And one of the things is you don't answer them. Yeah. In some cases, you don't answer them because that's the worst cut of all. I do that every once in a while.
But isn't that... Now, the thing that worries me about that is then that people think that, it got lost and that you didn't see it.
Tough darts.
Instead
or they
of,
think they wounded you so deeply.
Like, see, I like Alan's
back.
Response better, which is just thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Right, yeah. Right. Or there's another one, which you mentioned this morning, like acknowledged.
Oh, that's great. That's good. I like that.
That's good.
Acknowledge.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
That is good. I like
we
that.
We shouldn't be giving away these secrets.
No.
Now, if anybody gets an acknowledge, they'll know that we didn't think of it ourselves.
That's okay.
Well, also, you're not supposed to tell all your tricks, but sometimes when I write thank you, most of the times I mean it, but sometimes I'm thinking another word instead of thank. So... So,
but see, I think that's implied in the response. Right. I do think most people probably pick up on that.
I yeah. always give big, involved answers.
You are
I
great.
Yeah.
I love
I
reading your responses.
An hour.
I do that too. When, yeah. If an email gets all the way like past you, Joe, and through to yeah. me or something, yeah. No, I mean, unless, you know, obviously, you know, if they're just
well,
saying,
some of them,
you know, some
of them are like this, right. but then and others
yeah,
get
I
very
was,
in
the
depth.
Whole purpose yeah. of the show is to have a discourse, which
absolutely.
Is why it's important to have Riches here. So if someone writes, and I will say, there's no way we're ever going to convince each other, but at least hear my side. That's all I
yeah.
want.
And then we get regular letters
too.
Saying
yeah.
that since Rosemary is clearly and Libby are clearly for you know for
Hillary.
Why is it that there's nobody taking the other side? Excuse me.
Well, there's two people. There's Barbara Smith. Barbara Smith. I'm
and
sorry.
Alan.
And Alan are both very, very forceful.
So people sort of ferret out what they don't want to hear. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't like it.
All right, other letters, and
yeah,
then we'll
oh,
move
sure.
on to other subjects.
Okay.
We just really want to be popular.
How many Americans would Rich like to see without
insurance?
How many Americans would Rich like to see without insurance? Give us a number. Peter.
You got a number, Rich?
I wouldn't like to see any Americans without health care.
Okay.
All right.
What?
I know it's not the same.
It's not the
but
same.
I don't want to see any Americans without health care.
No, Rich, says Michael. The travesty of constitutional law was when the Supreme Court elected George W. Bush.
Agree. That's
okay.
a states' rights issue.
Okay.
Okay. Denise says, the Pope made it very clear.
Of course,
clear.
If Al Gore had won his own state, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
The Pope made it
just saying.
That's not a constitutional or legal
issue. I
know,
just saying.
Just saying.
When you can't win your own state,
Denise said,
don't come whining to me.
Yes.
Denise said the Pope didn't, quote, meet with Bernie Sanders. The Pope made it very clear. Sanders staying in the Vatican Hotel is where all the other conference attendees. The Pope lives there since he has eschewed living in the papal quarters.
Thank you. That's
no.
right.
What is it with seriously, it's going to sound like a sarcastic thing. What is it with Bernie and the Pope? Isn't this like the second time that there's been something about him saying something, and then the Vatican had to come out and say no, you know, that wasn't what the Pope said, and he didn't meet with the Pope.
I don't know what the first time you're referring to, but the Pope and the Bernie.
Why do you take time off in the middle of a U.S. campaign to go all the way to Italy and
I
come
know
back?
Why.
Why did he do that?
He wanted to reassure Catholics in this country that he was going to be the president for all people.
Yeah, that
that's
he's,
why he
he's
went.
Jewish
wow.
and he wants to be ecumenical.
And what I found,
and they agree philosophically.
Right, that you stole the words right off of my tongue. That's exactly what I was going to say. The guys agree.
Oh, you.
They agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean climate change and welfare. I'm sorry, wealth in the way it's distributed
well,
around the world. They're both
equality,
exactly
sure.
the same. They're yeah. both exactly the same. So.
Right. That's true. And then we heard from Paul, who said the Pope made it very. Oh no, we did that one already.
Yep.
Sorry about that. I'm having trouble here for change. I may disapprove of what you're saying, but I will defend your right to say it. One of my favorites, Paul from North Adams, about both sides. Right. And Justice Roberts was not the only one to vote in favor of the Affordable Care Act. I'm glad to see that Rich knows more about constitutional law than five Supreme Court justices. Oh, sharper than a serpent.
I just know more than one of them.
Sharper than a serpent's tooth.
He just happens to be the swing vote Chief Justice.
Okay, and Stephen says, Rich, Obamacare is basically what the GOP proposed 20-plus years ago as an alternative to Hillary Care. You guys would have won the national health insurance debate if you hadn't drunk two decades of hater aid.
There wasn't a national health insurance debate. That was a debate brought up by the Democrats for which the public really didn't have a heck of a lot of appetite. They had just expanded Medicare and Medicaid, and which they could have done at far less cost, and it would have come a lot closer, by the way, Alan, to being single payer than anything we have now.
Actually,
we would have been fine.
Actually, we all agree on that.
Okay.
Yeah, we all do agree on that.
Just take it every
year.
So
we fixed health care. What's next?
Every year, just take the Medicare and go
another
year.
Yep.
We had a structure already in place.
But I wanted to say something that is so important here. It wasn't Hillary Care that did it. It was the Republican governor, Mitt Romney of Massachusetts, who invented this ACA.
Yeah, and I say the same thing when people point to the Canadian system as well, and I say sometimes what works for 20 million people or 4 million people doesn't work for 320 million people. There's differences of scale. I also have to point out, as I always do, that when Obama was talking about Hillary Care, he said solving health care by making people buy health insurance is like trying to solve homelessness by making people buy houses. It's ridiculous. And that's not me. That's your guy, Obama.
Well, all I can say is Cynthia said, I'm an unapologetic liberal, but I do enjoy hearing someone like Rich Honan and his perspective. Can't agree with him, but he's entitled to his opinion, even if it's wrong. Cynthia, see what she did there?
Yes.
Okay. And Michael says, I think that the purported hallway meeting with the Pope was specifically planned to avoid giving the appearance of the Pope endorsing a specific candidate during a U.S. presidential election, to which I say, details.
Well, I mean, there was a whole thing in the New York Times this weekend about how it happened, where they were hoping to have a meeting, and they were told, be at this place at this time, and we will walk through, and he will greet you. And, I mean, obviously, you don't just bump into the Pope. As I said, you know, it's not like you're both at the ice machine, and, you know, you suddenly, like, see each other.
Yeah.
But it was very choreographed, and not to be an official meeting, but to be a meeting and a greeting. So. Mm-hmm.
That's legit. I mean, Alan, that's right. That's a legitimate. I don't want to call it political, but that's a legitimate political strategy. You say, you know, I can't have a formal meeting, but if you come out there, if we're at the same place, I'll shake your hand.
And
I'll
as I'm
hello.
Headed out, I'll say hello to you. Right.
That happens all the time.
Is that an endorsement?
No.
That's
no.
A
it's sort of an endorsement
because he said he complimented him in that short time on his positions on the things we've been talking about. Okay, so anyway, Tom writes, I'm pretty sure that Al Gore did win his home state. And then he says, D.C.
Well done.
Oh, God. Raymond says, me and my family trekked across the walkway over the Hudson yesterday. I had forgotten about the Trump rally.
Yeah, my family.
Yeah.
What happened?
It should be my family and I. Sorry, I'm the English teacher.
No,
here.
I know. No, but I think, see, this is where you people really get it wrong. Sometimes when you use constructions that aren't theoretically correct, you
like
make
me
the,
and Mario, for
yeah,
example.
Yeah, and that was a joke. That was a joke. Right. It was always supposed to be a joke.
Wasn't it the NPR woman who wrote Between You and Me? That book Between You and Me, and about usage. She was like the usage person from NPR.
Yeah.
Good book. But anyway, Rosemary,
it's very smug, and I know that's awful, but I hate it. I mean, the nominative case.
But go ahead,
Alan. You
know.
Nominative case. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
The nominative case.
Okay. Yeah.
See, now
how would Justice Roberts rule on that?
But now, the guy didn't get to have his letter.
Yeah, read his letter. I'm sorry.
Whose letter?
Me and my family.
I did read it.
No, you didn't. I interrupted Rosemary.
Oh, I think maybe it's gone. I'm not sure. Oh, here it is. Okay. Me and my family trekked across the walkway over the Hudson yesterday. I had forgotten about the Trump rally. As I saw the Trump supporters who didn't make it into the Civic Center walking down the hill, I couldn't help but make this observation that I shared on Facebook and now want to share with the panel. The streets of Poughkeepsie look like an Abercrombie and Fitch commercial. White, jubilant people in button-ups and khakis everywhere holding Trump signs. It's weird. The people who want to make America great again seem to be doing just fine the way it is.
You know, that's funny because when I saw the the Trump rally in Albany was right across the street from my office. And when I saw the people coming down the hill to the Trump rally, I said, are these the Bernie people from, you know, from the 2 o'clock rally? Because they did not, they looked much more eclectic, scruffy, whatever you want. But they were not Abercrombie and Fitch looking to me.
Well, Albany and Poughkeepsie.
They don't look like stereotypical Republicans to me.
I saw a little too many Confederate flags tied to trucks too, but
I didn't see that. But that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. But no, it's interesting. I had the exact opposite feeling. I was like, wow.
I think these are
Republicans.
Trump's numbers show he's pulling from a wide range of places, kinds of people.
Here's a nice letter.
Sorry.
Okay, good.
Here's a nice letter from Elizabeth in Newburgh. Good morning. Moderates and some conservatives also listen and support public radio. Maybe not as many as liberals, but we're supporters too. Thanks for having Rich on your show.
Yay.
Nice.
Thank you.
Do you have your daughter write that? No.
No, my daughter would be much tougher on me than most of the...
Kathy, my
daughter, who says she doesn't have to listen to Bernie because she says, if I was going to listen to an old grouchy Jewish guy, I would just listen to you.
I love it.
I love that.
All right.
Kathy says, hi, panel. Sorry, the thing called Romney Care foisted on Massachusetts was invented by the Heritage Foundation.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll get to some other stuff. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Adelphi University Hudson Valley Center, offering a Master of Social Work degree. Open house Thursday, April 21st at 6 p.m. in Poughkeepsie. Adelphi.edu for more information. The Arthur Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College, a cultural resource for the upstate region, providing a teaching, recording, and performance venue with rental options available. Skidmore.edu/ZANKEL. And from TEC Land Surveying, providing surveying and mapping services for transportation, infrastructure, and development projects throughout the WAMC listening area, TECLS.com for more information.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and our panel discussion this morning. We're learning a lot about Rich this morning. Welcome back. Let's go to some stories. Well, so we haven't talked about the primary battle in New York, which is, of course,
Oh my God,
we almost
tomorrow.
Got through an entire show without it.
No,
we have to hit that. My God, we can't miss that.
It is so interesting.
So, of course, nothing really has changed as far as the polls go. Both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are expected to win New York State, and quite easily. They have large margins. Now, that doesn't mean that will be what happens, but that is what the polls tell us will happen. And also,
Donald than Hillary. I mean, Hillary is, 10 points ahead, depending on who you're listening to.
That's double digits.
That's still
a
lot. That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And here's the thing, though. It definitely is closer than Hillary, I think, ever expected it to be.
It's
closer than I wanted it to be. And there's a lot at stake. If she wins for Bernie, it just gets way hard.
It's the end.
I think it's the end. If he wins, she's really bloodied. And that's going to be bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to come back from.
I mean, realistically, he's not going to win.
It all depends, Rich, on the kids. The kids are, I think I read 76%, you know. So if they come out and vote, you could have a real upturn here. What do you call that?
53-41%.
What is it?
53-41%.
I just wouldn't underestimate the power of the kind of the Democrat machine, of the machine of just get. I mean, that's what, you know, that's what the machine does, right? And either Republican or Democrat, they get the votes out, they get their people out, they know what day the primary is, and they get and they physically get people there.
Here's the thing. I'm sorry.
One
thing I just want to say, because I've been thinking about this, both Bernie and Trump are showing and generating great dissatisfaction with the political machinery as it exists. Now, I don't think that's corruption, but it is a healthy thing to discuss how we want to do party politics, and all of that may change. Fine. But for right now, under the rules that exist, Ted Cruz and Hillary Clinton are playing the game.
Oh, yeah.
So Hillary Clinton leading in the polls in New York? Pennsylvania, and California.
Hillary is.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
But if you take a look, look at the Times this morning. So interesting, the story about how the votes are apportioned per congressional district.
Right.
So if you get, for example, a clear majority, there are three in every district, you get all three.
You get all three, right.
But if you get just a plurality, you only get two, I think.
Right.
That's the way it works. So,
and all of these rules were put into place as a way to reform or to fix former complaints. The truth is, we should just have direct election. We should just be one person, one vote for whoever you want, not for a delegate, but for the actual president.
And by the way, I'm not so sure you're right that that's why they were put in place. I think when people put in rules in place, quite often they're self-serving for one reason or another.
I think each rule was put in place by whoever won the previous I mean, look at the Romney, how the Romney thing is affecting the Romney rule affecting the Republican primary. About you have to have won like eight states or something to. But Rosemary, you're right. I mean, a big part of winning a primary is organization and ground game. The whole ground game. Now we could argue. I don't know if we would argue. We could probably say that's maybe not the best qualification for being president. Okay, but it's a big part of winning a primary.
Don't you all find it somewhat astounding that Donald Trump is beloved by so many people?
Yes. Yes,
astounding?
I do.
I don't find it astounding.
I don't know.
So
I don't know that I would say he's beloved.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, there's people who support him, but I don't know if it's a rabid support that you...
Because yeah, I'm not sure
a lot of people say they're almost embarrassed by it.
I don't know that I'd say he's beloved. I think I would say he is clearly, he struck a chord, right? Hit a nerve or something. And I think the swath of the people that he has struck that chord with, that is surprising.
But to Alan's point, of course, you know, winning like he has across the country.
Winning is winning.
I mean, kids say scoreboard, but you know, I don't think he's beloved the way Obama was beloved or the way Bernie is beloved.
Yeah.
You know, Bernie is the answer.
As we've said, his supporters are
Trump is somebody, I think, to a lot of people who is saying some things that those people would say on their own.
While we are talking about Donald Trump, insisting that the delegate selection process is corrupt and crooked, Donald Trump offered a vivid example on Sunday to prove his point. Look, nobody has better toys than I do, he told reporters at a hotel on Staten Island where he pressed his case that the system was rigged against him. I can put them in the best planes and bring them to the best resorts anywhere in the world. But, Mr. Trump said, that was unseemly. You're basically buying these people. You're basically saying, delegate, listen, we're going to send you to Mar-a-Lago on a Boeing 757. You're going to use the spy. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. We want your vote. That's a corrupt system. Mr. Trump's comments were the latest salvo in an escalating war against the Republican National Committee over how delegates were being selected in the presidential race.
Hey, no, Jason, bring the basin.
Yeah. So what?
Hey, Jason, bring the basin. Yeah. I'm going to lose it now.
I think that this has hurt Trump. He's not wrong, right?
I mean, he's not wrong saying it's a rigged system. Now it's his job to have known that system, right?
Correct.
And if you're gonna play in that sandbox, you got to know the rules.
Right.
I think that he is trying to make the case to make it more and more difficult if he doesn't get to the exact number. I think he's just building his case for the convention.
So in one of the more Trumpian statements, he says,
Trumpet.
He hoped that the July convention doesn't involve violence. And he said, and I don't think it will, but I will say this. It's a rigged system. It's a crooked system. It's 100% crooked.
No, I love the whole thing.
Rise up and protest.
Seriously, Joe, I hear what you're saying, but you have, with all of these candidates, you have to actually hear them talk. I mean, he speaks in one sentence from the beginning of a speech to the end, right? I mean, his entire speech is a run-on sentence.
Right, which makes your point difficult to...
So what I'm saying is just because he'll say three thoughts in the same, you know, 50 words, but I don't think he's linking... I don't think he the conclusion that you come to where he's saying, well, I don't want any violence, but it is rigged, so therefore we're going to have violence.
Well, I want to deal with the violence. I want to deal with the violence issue. He once predicted that there would be violence if they messed up.
He said there'd be violence.
Yeah, now he is saying... You know, basically, I hope there isn't violence. There shouldn't be violence. But even the construction of that invites violence. in my opinion.
I mean, look, he goes and he makes.
Then you don't call this. I mean, you can call the system crooked, but then you don't have to use it in the same sentence.
You do again. With him, it's all one sentence, right? I mean, that's how the guy talks. I mean, that's why it's so infuriating, for one of the reasons why it's so infuriating to listen to him, because, he, like I say, he's on the same sentence for 25 minutes.
Let me just read a note from Kathleen, yes, who says, "Hi, panel. Have you already discussed the polling's lack of access to cell phone numbers and the impact on those polls because of that deficit?"
Yeah, that's interesting.
By the way, go to Berkshire Eagle. I don't want to be self-serving. I'm from Saturday, and read my column on that very issue. There are ways that they're doing it now. They get them, you know, they random dial, they buy lists, they, you know, they do all that stuff. But Kathleen is on target because, you know, we see the 76% of these young people who were for Bernie. And if there's going to be an upset in this, that's where it's coming from. Bernie keeps saying, if they turn out, I'll win.
But what's the rationale for just not being able to reach out through the cell phone? Are the polls?
They're not in the phone book.
They're just not. It's just
they're not in the phone book. But because all I know is I get, just as I'm falling asleep every night, I hear from some really degenerate, you know, sort of hawkers trying to sell me, you know, things like solar panels or insurance or something
like
that.
What's degenerate about solar panels?
Nothing except that they're calling me late at night.
Oh. Which is what for you, 8:30?
No, 7:30.
All right. We are out of time, but thank you very much, everybody, for taking part. Thank you for your letters. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Rich Honan, thank you all for joining us. And we'll continue the roundtable after this break.